you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's June 29th, 2016. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. Jason, is that the word of the day today?
I would hope it's the word of the day every day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to give our listeners just a quick little update. Those that have been praying about the Great News Radio Event Center, the Great News Radio Community Center, I like somebody that recently wrote me and said, and I don't know if they intentionally meant to do it or just didn't know the name, but they said the Great News Radio Ministry Center. And I'm like, I really like that word, Ministry Center, because sometimes the Event Center, people might think, oh, they're just putting on a bunch of events there that could be kind of generic. But the Ministry Center, that has a ring and a flavor and a feel to it that ministry is going to happen there. So I don't know. We'll see if we change some of the language. But we continue to pray for God's leading. Many times when you go into contractual agreements or lease agreements, or a lot of eyes have to review and look at. And so God's got a timing on this and where exactly he wants to have it. And we're just waiting on him. In fact, there's been some movement on some other options that might even be new and improved. So we continue to just surrender that concept of a place to have additional studios and storage and a meeting place and where ministry can take place. And we'll trust that God will work out all the details. And there are some options. And so we're excited about the possibilities. So please continue to pray for this Great News Radio location and how God would infuse teaching and gatherings and meals and fellowship and prayer and worship as we would gather and find this unique location that will enhance the broadcasts and allow teaching to take place. And also where I can say, come on in, let's get your testimony recorded. I was thinking about that. It'd be nice to have a number of people just kind of lined up sharing their stories where we can have those over the air in the days ahead. So please keep praying for this Great News Radio Center, this Great News Radio Ministry Center, where various events will take place. And we'll leave it in God's hands, and it might be weeks, months, I would hope not years ahead, but if that's what the Lord has and intends to do, hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah, you know, I think that sometimes we have to be real careful, Mark. You know, when you were saying that, it made me think of Proverbs 16:9, which says, you know, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so oftentimes I think that we say, well, I think we're going this way. I think this is the plan. I think that this is what we're supposed to do. But when we look at the Bible, or at least when I look at the Bible, largely the course of men in the Bible, it doesn't go as they planned it to go. Mm-hmm. When I look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul, most of his ministry was given to kind of circumstance, not his plan or not the things that he planned to do. When we think about Acts chapter 16, I mean, Paul wanted to go to Asia, and the Holy Spirit kept him from going there. By the way, if he would have gone to Asia, the gospel would have blown up. I mean, the gospel would have spread like crazy. We know from some of the other things that happened through those trade routes that, you know, different cultural things, as they were disseminated there, would just go across the land and affect tons of people because of the nature of those trade routes. And yet, the Spirit of the Lord kept Paul from going there. And then Paul wanted to go to Bithynia, Acts chapter 16 says. And then the Spirit of Jesus told him he couldn't go there. And Bithynia would have been the same idea, where the gospel would have gone out and it would have just exploded. And so Paul has these two routes where these things are going to, that he plans. He knows if I go there, the gospel is going to go crazy. And then where does he wind up? He winds up in Philippi next to a river with Lydia, with one person. And yet that becomes the foundation of the church that we read about in Philippians.
And maybe as a point for application for some people, because you would have thought, and Paul could say, but Lord, look at, there'll be this expansive mega churches starting. Look at thousands, millions of people will be influenced. Now, again, God knows the end from the beginning. But why do you think, why was God leading Paul to not expand the church, where you would think, wouldn't growth be a wonderful thing, all these souls saved and thousands coming to know about Jesus?
You know, sometimes I think that it's not. Sometimes I think that when we explode in certain ways, we're not prepared for that. Maybe God hasn't prepared our hearts. Maybe we haven't prayed ahead of time. Maybe we haven't scripturally educated ourselves on those things. I'm not exactly sure, but just when I look at Paul's ministry, I take great comfort in the fact that much of it was given to circumstances and things that he didn't plan, things that Paul would have actually maybe called setbacks. And I want to be clear with everybody, I'm not against planning. I am actually really so for planning that it makes my wife crazy. I like having lists. Yeah. I like knowing what we're going to do. But I am learning that some of the best things that happen to me are found in the setbacks, the unplanned events, the unplanned encounters, and the unplanned opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about just at our Israel night the other night, and I'll share this, and it was really powerful that our good friend Jerry Cohen, he and Carol came on Friday night to the Israel night, and he left his glasses at the church. And I didn't make the – somebody said, hey, we found these glasses. I didn't know they belonged to him. Well, we put them in the office, and there was a phone call, and it was, this is Jerry. I left my glasses there. But I didn't even make the connection that it was him.
Hmm.
And so finally when I got I was getting around to calling him on Sunday morning to come in to grab his glasses, and he showed up at the church prior to our services. And I said, Jerry, he said, yeah, I'm here to get my glasses. Oh, yeah, that's right. So I gave him the glasses. And I got to have a really great time for about 10 minutes praying with him, being myself blessed and encouraged by him. And I thought, Lord, this was unplanned. Like, Lord, you know I'm getting ready for my services. Lord, you know I'm prepping to do these things. Lord, I don't have time to do this. And yet I was so blessed by the fact that he stopped and I was able to pray for him that I really think that prepared me for what we were going to do in our services on Sunday morning better than anything I could have done on my own. And so I think the point that I really want to make, and it's really kind of a simple point, is that God is the master planner.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't believe in happenstance. We believe in providence. We believe that God guides everything. And so all the unplanned detours and setbacks, all those circumstances, all those kinds of things, those are God doing something that has an even greater purpose than we even know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and case in point, the other day with this event center, ministry center, the Great News Radio Center, as I've proclaimed or shared over the air, we very specifically thought it was going to be this set location, and it still could be, and it would be wonderful. But because of some circumstances, I was looking at something else, which I never would have done, and I wouldn't have considered some of these other options or avenues, but as a result of something, it forced me to do this. And then I started thinking, you know, I could see this and wow, and possibilities. And again, it was because of how something presented itself that I wasn't really prepared for. But now that that's out on the table, it's like, you know, this might even be a better option, a better location, a better situation. And I'm sort of like, wow, Lord. And even the process of weighing these other options, I would have never have done because I thought, well, this is certainly the location. And so God's kind of even in the midst of what I'm weighing and our board's considering. We have different options that it looks like the Lord may in fact lead us toward, but we're waiting on him.
Yeah, you know, I think in all of this, what I really want to suggest is that maybe when we experience, and this is your testimony that you're saying right now, maybe when we experience a setback, it's actually God setting us up for something bigger for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this past weekend I talked about this during our Sunday service, but Jesus says in Luke 21, 10 through 13, he says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes and in various places, famine and pestilence. There'll be terrors and great signs from heaven. So this is a real positive way to start, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He says in verse 12, though, he says, but before all this, they will lay their hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons, and you'll be brought before the kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Now, the reason I talk about this verse is because It's not in any of our plans to have somebody lay their hands on us. It's not in any of our plans to have any of these things happen. In all the ministry plans that we make, this isn't in there. And yet, this is in Jesus' ministry plan for us. This is that in all the unplanned things, because everything he lists here is unplanned. We don't know when nation will rise against nation or kingdom against nation, kingdom. We hope we can chart when earthquakes are going to come, but we don't know. We don't know when any of these things will come. But what does Jesus qualify at the end of this? He says, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. Which means that in all the unplanned and unknown things, all the things, the detours, the setbacks, all of that stuff, that our job ultimately is to bear witness to his glory. And when we look at the ministry in Acts, and we've been going through Acts for 3 years, and God willing, another 10 or 15.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are celebrating retirement through our Acts study.
Yeah, that's right.
But when you look at the book of Acts, it says, listen, it says in Acts 21:27, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the crowd and laid their hands on him. Jesus says, they will lay their hands on you. And then if we look at Acts chapter 21, verses 30 and 31, it says, then all the city was stirred up and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut and they were seeking to kill him. Well, Jesus says in that verse in Luke that they will persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, at this time, Paul gives his testimony to the whole of the Jewish Sanhedrin, says in Acts 21:40. And that is when Jesus said they'll deliver you up to where? The synagogues. And then it says, and when it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath to neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And because of that, Paul is taken to Caesarea Maritima and he's put in prison. And they will put you in prison, Jesus said. And then what's fascinating is you get to Acts chapter 26, and what happens in Acts chapter 26? Paul is brought before Felix and Agrippa. He's brought before the king and the governor, which is what Jesus says. Jesus says, and you will be brought before the kings and governors for my name's sake. And this will be your opportunity to bear witness. The life of the Apostle Paul, our lives, stand witness to Scripture. Scripture is true. And none of these events that I just named, none of these events that I read from the book of Acts, were planned events. It wasn't anything where the Apostle Paul goes, can you guys arrest me now? Can you guys take me over here? Can you lay your hands on me? Will you guys bind yourselves and make a plot to kill me? Because I was thinking that would be a good idea to further the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that that happens. But because of the unplanned events, because of the unplanned things, the things that we determine as setbacks or maybe even detours, suddenly you have Paul in a position where he gets to share the gospel with the highest-ranking people in Israel. He gets to bear witness for God's glory to these two people. And isn't that what we're called to do? That's when we bear witness. We stand before people and we tell them about the goodness of who Jesus Christ is. And you know what? Some of it is, you know, like I think, you know, maybe there's going to be some other opportunities in terms of the Great News Radio Ministry Center. You know, and for some people watching this, they might think that you should be really frustrated. They might think that you should be really irritated. They might think that your reaction should be entirely different than your reactions. But this is a moment where you get to, in a very Christ-like way, say, you know what, it's okay. Wherever God guides, I know God will provide, and whatever he offers us will be more than enough. And that's powerful to a world that's watching, that thinks we ought to all get everything we desire. You know, it makes me think about the Apostle Paul and how absolutely at times impossible he was to detour from his from what he knew that God wanted him to do. And I want to say this, too. I really want to make this statement, because for some people, we read the Apostle Paul and we think, yeah, but that was Paul. Paul could stand in front of the governors and the kings. Paul could do all these things because he was like a spiritual Superman. And I don't think that's true. Paul rarely what happened was Paul's plan, nor was Paul perfect. But what Paul did know is that Jesus Christ was perfect, and Jesus Christ had a plan for Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't that Paul always had it all figured out. It was that Paul had Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ is the only thing that is going to make a difference. You know, and because of that, because he had Jesus Christ, then he could be imprisoned. He could be beaten, left for dead, stoned, shipwrecked twice. And on one of those occasions when he gets shipwrecked, doesn't he crawl on the beach and a snake bites him?
Yeah.
I mean, for those of us, our witness would be shot then, wouldn't it? I mean, the snake bites us and we'd be like, whatever, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, but what does Paul do? He starts worshiping and sharing the gospel with people. I mean, I think about it. You know, they would say, Paul, we're going to kill you. And he'd say, to die is gain. Well, we'll let you live. To live is Christ. Well, we're going to torture you. I consider that the sufferings of this present time not worth the comparing glory that is to begin to be revealed to us. And they say, we'll put you in prison. And Paul said, great. Can I have a hymnal? Because I'm going to start singing at midnight with Silas and we're going to convert everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's how Paul worked. And it wasn't because he was some kind of Superman. It wasn't because he had a plan. It was because he had Jesus Christ. And Jesus makes all the difference. And so when you asked about following Jesus, I think that's it. I wonder for some of us how often we spend as we go through our day saying, Jesus, I'm so glad I have you. And not like in a possessive way, because we don't possess him. He possesses us. And how often do we spend just saying, you know what, Jesus, I am so thankful for you, thankful for my salvation, thankful for what only you could give and you could do for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would just say this, you know, do we have unplanned events in our life? Yes, we do. Do we have setbacks? Yes. Do we have dozens of detours every week? Yes. But I think that every single one of those are opportunities. Opportunities where we can bear witness for Jesus, where we can draw strength from Jesus, where we can let the light of the gospel shine, where we can give glory to Christ. And I love how Paul says when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and by the way, 2 Timothy is the last thing he wrote. He's towards the end of his life, and he writes to Timothy, he said, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I've kept the faith. And anybody who believes that Paul was going to cross the finish line alone was absolutely wrong. Paul finished crossed the finish line limping and holding on to God for his life.
Hmm.
You know, it reminds me of a story. In 1992, the Summer Olympic Games were held in Barcelona, Spain. And one of the runners in the 400-meter race was an English athlete named Derek Redmond. And he had trained for years to compete in the Olympics. He planned to come to the Olympics to win, but while he was sprinting one of the qualifying heats, something unplanned happened. He suddenly pulled a hamstring and was crumpled onto the track. If you see the video of it, he's down on his knees and he doesn't know how he's going to go on. But he determined that he was going to get up and he was going to finish. So he struggled to his feet and he began to hobble towards the finish line, unsure of how that was going to actually work itself out. If you watch the video, it's absolutely painful. And it's in that moment when we see the greatest pain on his face. We see his father scale the wall and run onto the track.
Hmm.
And before anyone can stop the father, he reached for his son and grabbed a hold of him. And the young runner leaned against his father's shoulder as he staggered to complete the race. And this setback isn't what he planned, but his father was faithful, and his father lets him lean against him, and his father supports him and holds on to him. And Derek draws strength from his father. And in that moment, when you watch the video, the entire crowd stands and the entire crowd cheers. And there's even a moment where you see a smile cross Derek's face, even if the pain that he's in. And that's joy that comes from being near your father and knowing that he alone will carry you across the finish line.
Hmm.
In fact, the spectators in the crowd who were there said that when it happened, it was as if there wasn't two people on the track, but only one.
Hmm.
And isn't that how it is when we follow Jesus, when we walk near him?
Hmm.
When we're with him.
And that reminds me of some of the premarital counseling you gave, and I think you've preached on this, that God's intent is on developing our character and not necessarily our happiness, but our holiness. And what's that verse that where, you know, the testing of our faith and it develops perseverance, and perseverance has to do this to complete this. And sometimes those circumstances, those derailments, those setbacks are God's way of developing us, maturing us in our faith.
Yeah, well, that's James chapter 1. And the answer to James chapter 1 in terms of how we deal with those moments is that we turn to God and we gain wisdom and strength from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, God is the ultimate source of all those things. And so why wouldn't we want to lean against the Father and tell him thank you for the salvation afforded to us through Jesus Christ? Thank him for the strength that he gives us through his Holy Spirit, the wisdom and guidance and clarity in the midst of these unplanned events and kind of muddled lives that we seem to lead at times. Hmm. Why aren't we just thanking him for who he is and what he's given us? And by the way, what has he given us? Himself. The answer to every single problem is himself.
And at a great cost.
Yeah, at a huge cost to him, not to us.
Yeah, yeah. How fortunate it is that he continues to pursue us, to reveal himself through his word, through the preaching, the declaration of his word, through the reading of it, through rubbing shoulders with other believers, with just circumstances. We look at his handiwork and what he's offering us today, an opportunity to serve him. What? His mercies are new every morning, so our listeners should be encouraged that this very day God again is extending to us grace and mercy for this day.
I would agree 100%. Maybe the application piece of this is just when you wake up tomorrow morning, just as you're laying in bed, take a few moments and say, Lord, I thank you that your mercies today are new, and help me to walk in that newness. And help me in all of that to reflect your glory to all those around, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Better yet, do that today. Some are still in bed, you know, listening to this broadcast, maybe on their way to work. Now we realize this re-airs in the evening, so maybe your day has already been spent and you can do this tomorrow. But connect with God today. As the scriptures say, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. He delights in working in and through you. But as has been said, he desires you not necessarily to be happy, but to be holy, and he wants to set you apart for maybe some specific work this very day. All right, Great News Radio listener, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our Great News Radio family, and we'll see how God leads in the days ahead with this Great News Radio event center, ministry center, whatever he wants to call it, as long as he's front and center and the focus of what goes on there, that he can name it whatever he wants. Thanks for tuning in today. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, he cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, he cannot soothe.